For people with HIV, housing is one of the greatest unmet needs, second only to medical care. It's estimated that between one-third and one-half of people with AIDS and HIV are in danger of becoming homeless. In New York City alone, 25,000 people with HIV receive housing assistance. The waiting list is so long that the city is spending millions of dollars a year to put people up in hotels, a temporary measure that critics say is far from adequate. As part of NPR's year-long series on housing, Beth Fertig of member station WNYC reports.
For Ronaldo Decos, home these days is a tiny room in a place called the Cavalier Hotel, just east of Midtown Manhattan. This single-room occupancy hotel is a tidy but run-down building without an elevator. Four flights up, Deco sits on his twin bed smoking a cigarette. His room is about the size of an elevator. Next to his feet, there's a television and a miniature refrigerator.
What I just need is a little toilet. Be like a jail cell.
The room has no air conditioning, and it's so hot on this summer day, Deco refuses to turn on the light. There's no water fountain, so he drinks from a sink in the communal bathroom just down the hall. And forget about cooking, because there isn't a kitchen.
Look, I don't have anything. I don't have anything in my refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? You know, me eating sandwiches and stuff like that, that's not food.
Decos has been eating sandwiches and living out of hotels like this for a year, ever since his marriage fell apart and he lost his apartment. The 38-year-old former DJ says he hasn't been able to work since then. The city keeps moving him every few weeks while he waits for permanent housing. The strain has taken a toll on the slightly built man who found out 2 years ago he has HIV and hepatitis C. He says he's lost 30 pounds.
I guess it's just that, going to these hotels stresses you out so much. You can't cook, You can't sleep properly. You always got to be watching your room. I was in one hotel and they stole all my clothes.
For people like Ronaldo Decos, who have weakened immune systems, housing isn't just a matter of convenience. It can make all the difference between life and death. As cities throughout the country struggle to house this medically needy population, many, like Seattle and San Francisco, are relying on emergency rent vouchers for hotels and motels. Armin Mersian, an attorney with the New York group Housing Works, says regular shelters are dangerous for people with HIV.
Because our population is so much more at risk, so much more susceptible to illness, disease, so much more deleteriously affected by stress and the problems that substandard housing cause.
New York City addressed these problems in 1997 when it enacted the only law in the country that guarantees medically appropriate housing for people with HIV. Under the law, these clients must get their own rooms with refrigerators for storing food and medicine. As a result, the city now sends more than 1,200 people to hotels every month. But Mersian says some hotels aren't fit for people with medical needs. He says clients who can barely walk are often sent to buildings without elevators, like the one where Ronaldo Decos is staying. Other places don't even have refrigerators, and some are just plain squalid.
We had one person, for example, who was in the hotels, who took to taking her food, tying it in the bag, the grocery bag that she had, and suspending it from the water sprinkler in the middle of her room because it was the only area of her room that she could keep the rats or the mice from getting into her food and eating it.
City officials say they adhere to standards and avoid hotels with serious violations. Housing Works has gone to court, and a decision is expected shortly. But Mersian concedes not all the hotels are so bad. There were tabloid headlines last year when it was discovered the city was also using tourist hotels, charging up to $300 a night. Mersian says the money should go to permanent housing, since the city spent $29 million on emergency housing last year for people with HIV.
It only makes sense, and any business person would know, that if you can, for far cheaper, build your own and invest in your own housing, rather than paying a private market hotel, which has no amenities, which as we've seen is often horrible and not medically appropriate, you can save the city millions. So it is a tragedy that the city hasn't done it.
Like other cities, New York is facing the worst homeless crisis in a decade. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he's doing all he can for some 25,000 people with HIV needing housing or help with their rent.
95% of the people with AIDS where we had to find shelter for, we have found appropriate shelter. Only about 5% have been put in hotels. We've actually done a pretty good job, I think, in terms of finding homes for a population that has severe medical problems, and we're trying to help.
The city is planning to rent a few hundred more units of permanent housing this year, saving about a third of the cost on hotels. There are also plans to give more rent vouchers to people with HIV under the federal government's Section 8 program. There's a reason why cities like New York are struggling to house more homeless people with HIV. Betsy Lieberman, executive director of AIDS Housing of Washington in Seattle, says it's partly because they're living longer. New medications have improved their health, but the drugs are expensive.
Rents have escalated in virtually every market in the United States. You can't, I mean, people just don't have enough income if they're living on Social Security disability to afford a unit of housing.
Jennifer Flynn sees this every day. She's director of the New York City AIDS Housing Network.
I mean, I think that just the nature of having AIDS, it's an episodic illness where you're working at some point and then suddenly you can't work and, you know, you lose your housing. A lot of people who have AIDS are also active drug users or duly diagnosed mentally ill, so therefore their ability to sort of keep the housing on their own is greatly diminished.
Flynn's group has been lobbying to build more housing for this vulnerable population. Paul Tarani is one of the lucky ones. He's now living in a bright and airy apartment on the Lower East Side in a renovated building run by a nonprofit AIDS group. Tarani worked with advocates at the AIDS Housing Network in order to get this apartment. He was homeless for just 4 months, living at a YMCA and then a hotel. But that was more than enough.
Being homeless with HIV in New York and going through the welfare system is equivalent to being on a methadone maintenance program because you're just keeping the worry away. You're moving from hotel to hotel to hotel, and you're just keeping the worry away.
Tarani is 27 years old, and he's been HIV positive since he was a teenager. He says he became homeless after he quit his bank job to spend more time dealing with his physical and mental health care needs. Now that he's got his own apartment, he's able to cook his own meals in a small but full-service kitchen. He's beginning to look for a new job, and he's grateful to sleep in the same bed every night.
My quality of life has changed because I don't have to worry about housing and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do with all my belongings. Well, I can focus on my health now.
AIDS advocates often say housing is health care. To them, shelter means much more than a place to stay. It's as vital to improving the lives of people with HIV as any medicine. For NPR News, I'm Beth Fertig in New York.